Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Kuma. I'm from India. Do I look like Indian? But I'm from India. God is good. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm able to stand before you to share the word of God with you. And before we do that, let us have a word of prayer. Gracious and mighty God, we thank and praise you for we worship a living God. And we don't worship a stone, a mountain, the star, the sun, but we worship you in spirit and in truth, and you are a personal God, and through Jesus Christ, we know your love, your salvation, your peace, your joy. Thank you, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your words. And Lord, help us to worship you, to glorify you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Today we'll continue our studies on the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 9 to 13. And do you know Jesus? I'm here. Do you know me? We meet one another a lot of time, but do you know one another? And in India, in a remote place, they are going to have a baptism class. They want to make sure that the person who was taking that baptism class before they took baptism, he know who Jesus is. And he's ready for, whether he's ready or for baptism or not, they want to make sure. So they ask him, do you know Jesus? And he answered, yes, I know Jesus for a long time. I know him. And then the next question is, who is Jesus? That one I cannot answer. I cannot answer that one, he said. So today, we may know Jesus, but do you know who is Jesus? You know? Maybe we know about Jesus from our friend a long time ago, but do you really know personally who is Jesus? How do we know him? It's so important. And our passage for this morning is 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 to 13. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accept this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God he has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. What does God want us to communicate? That you may know that you have eternal life. This is the purpose of the whole Bible. That you may know that you have eternal life. So, be sure of your salvation. Are you sure you are safe? Are you sure about your salvation? You may know that you have eternal life. Where will it be after you die? Where will it be after you die? I asked a Muslim man once, and where will it be after you die? He was not sure. I don't know. He told me. And then I said that, I am 100% sure I'll be in heaven. He laughed at me and said that, that is not possible. Only God knows where a person will be after he dies. And so, he thought that I didn't know, but I am 100% sure I know I'll be in heaven after I die. And I asked some Christian, often I asked Christian and said, you are a Christian?
Yes.
Do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Then, where will you be after you die? Are you sure, 100% sure you'll be in heaven?
100%
I'm not too sure. Maybe 80%, 70%, but 100%. I cannot say. I often heard many Christians answer me in that way. And so, if you are not certain about your destiny in heaven, can we be called Christian? Can we be called saved? Can we even consider ourselves to be a true Christian? A true Christian knows that he or she is saved. He or she is sure of his or her salvation. If you are not yet 100% sure about your salvation, are you Christian? Can you claim to be a true Christian? That is a big question, right? Because a true Christian knows he is saved. If you ask me today, I can say to you 100%, where will be Kumar after you die? 100% I'm sure I'll be in heaven. Can you say that? So this is a very important question. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know, I know only Jesus can let me die peacefully once in my life. One time, maybe 23 years back, I was so sick and I thought I was going to pass away. And I feel like my heartbeat was stopping, you know, and said, oh, where will I be after I die? Suppose I stop breathing. Where will I be after I die? I know that time I didn't believe God because I prayed to God many times to deliver me from addiction. I was addicted to some drugs, you know. They look like a drugs addict. I was addicted to some drugs for God's glory. And so I prayed 100 times. I went to counseling class so many times, but I was not free. So God didn't answer me my prayer. So how can I believe a God who cannot set me free from addiction? How can I pray to God who didn't answer me, who don't hear me? How can I believe a God who rose again from the dead if he cannot set me free from addiction, right? So I want to believe him, but I don't know how to believe him anymore. Because he didn't answer my prayer. He didn't hear me. He's silent. You know? So, but I knew I was going to die, so there's no other way. I know if I die, but I still know even if I die at that moment, I know that I'll be in hell because I didn't know God. I don't believe him anymore. Right? So, I think about Muhammad. I think about Islam. I think about Buddhism. I don't have any hope that I'll be in heaven according to their teaching. And I came to realize that only Jesus can bring me to heaven if there is a heaven. I cannot prove whether there is heaven or not. I cannot prove whether there is hell or not. And I cannot prove either. There is no hell. Can you prove that there is no hell? Can you prove there is no heaven? But I know there is a spirit. And if my spirit, if I die, I don't know where my spirit will be there. So, I said, there is only one way. That is Jesus who can bring me to heaven. You know? So at that moment, I said, okay, God, I don't know how to believe you anymore, but in this condition, if you will enable me to walk 5 miles, I believe you. Because I have nothing to lose. I'm going to die anyway. So I was not able to walk properly, but at the time, so I walk, I almost died walking 5 miles. I reached the place where there, and I fall down on the ground and said that, God, I believe you. You are a living God who can do the impossible thing. I have nothing to lose. I need to believe you. I need to know that you are real. So I believe God from that moment, and a living faith came in me that God is a real God, you know. From that, I became to believe more and more. I had a strong faith in God, and then my faith was developed. At last, God set me free. And I believe that the risen power of Christ can set us free from any bondage of sin, you know. It is not, salvation is not only after we die. Salvation is to set us free from any bondage of sin while we are alive. You know, today Jesus has the power to set us free from any bondage of sin because he rose again from the dead, you know. And his blood can cleanse us from all sin. There's no power of sin that he cannot break. There's no bondage that he cannot break. And today I'm a testimony. 23 years I have been set free
Praise the Lord. And so the power of God is real. The power of God is real. It is not just, so that's why I put, let me die peacefully. Let us, not only let us, but let you and me. It is a personal, faith is personal. It is me. I know. Do you know in your heart, in your life, that nobody can change your faith anymore? Because you know personally, right? The power of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the power of the risen Christ can set us free from any bondage of sin, you know? And so, He is here. Today you may not experience fully the free from your addiction or whatever may be your bondage, but believe and know the truth that it is a fact, it is a truth that He can set us free from any bondage. Wait for His timing. He will set you free. Amen. You know, spiritual breakthrough will come. It will come because He has victory over that sin in which you are in bondage. Believe. Continue believe. Continue on. He will set you free from that sin. Because the blood of Christ cleans us from all sin. Set us free from all bondage, you know? The message of the whole Bible can be summed up in this. And then in chapter 5, verse 11, God has given us eternal life through His Son. Why should we believe Jesus? Chapter 5, verse 9. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which He has given about His Son. We normally conduct our daily life by what we hear to be true. We function on what we hear from our family and neighbors. We normally believe and act on what they inform us, unless we have a good reason not to believe them. According to the law of Moses, too, the testimony of two or three credible witness was deemed sufficient to establish a matter as factual in the court of justice. These are all human testimony that we accept in our daily life. So every day we live in what we believe, what others told us, right? But if we can believe in that, why should we not believe in the testimony of God? We should believe Jesus because He's sent by God. The twofold testimony, witness of God about Jesus, is in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Last week, from Tom we have heard about that. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. The water refers to the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. This, the Spirit refers to the testimony of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is sent from God. When Jesus took baptism, the Holy Spirit said, there was a voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The blood refers to the death of Jesus and the shedding of His blood to save us from sin. This threefold witness from God Himself clearly saw us that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah coming from God. You know, God Himself witnessed that Jesus is the one whom He sent for us to save from sin. So God Himself is the one who testify about Jesus, you know, through this threefold witness or testimony. So we can know that Jesus is truly sent from God. What is the purpose of God in sending Jesus? And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And so, how does Jesus save us from sin? We are enslaved by sin. We are born sinner. We do not need to teach children how to commit sin, right? I have two kids. I never tell them how to steal, how to fight. They themselves learn it, you know? But every day I need to tell them to obey me, right? Today I tell them to obey me, they obey. The next day they didn't obey again. I need to tell them again. Every day I need to tell them, right? But I never teach them once how to fight, how to steal. But they learn by themselves. So that proves that we are all born sinner, right? We try to get out of our sin, right? There's no way. He's a prisoner. He tried to escape. But he was caught there, right? The police caught him. He was... We are like that. We are all bounded by sin. We are all enslaved by sin. We thought we'll get away from this sin. No way. Because we are enslaved by sin, our nature is sinful. Our nature, we are all drawn in the river of sin, right? Like we are like a person who was drawn in the river of sin. Try to get out of that river, but he cannot get out because he don't know how to swim. He don't know how to swim. If you can get out of that river of sin,
you are a God, remember.
If you don't have any sin, you are a God.
Is there anyone who claims to be without sin? Raise up your hand. Is there any God? So we are all sinners. It is no strength to feel sinful and shameful of ourselves. Sometimes, as a believer also, we thought that, I want to get out from this sinful nature. No way we can get out from this sinful nature. And this day, I feel like God was teaching me that I appreciate who I am. I feel sinful in God's sight. That's okay. I feel shameful many times, even as a Christian also. That's okay. Because I have sinful nature. My nature is sinful. Isaiah, he was standing before God and said, the glory of God. And he was saying, oh, and how sinful he was. He realized how sinful he was, you know. Holy, holy, holy God. Our God is holy. We are sinners. So it is natural that we feel sinful. We feel shameful before God. That must lead us to turn to God, right? I feel now also, as I stand before you, I'm a sinful person. I'm not a holy person. I stand here only because of the grace of God, you know. Because we are sinful. We are shameful before God, so we turn to God. We need Jesus. Until we die, we will be not set free completely from our sinful nature. When Christ comes again only, we will be free from sin. Until then, we'll have sin problem every day. Sanctification, Christ likeness is a daily growth, right? We are more and more like growing like Christ, but we'll never be Christ. We are just human being. So that's why we need his daily cleansing. That's why we need his blood every day. So it's not strange to feel sinful and shameful because we are sinner. If you never feel sinful, if you never feel shameful, you think you are righteous? We have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is from Christ alone. In Christ alone. Christ alone is our righteousness. The apostle said in Romans chapter 7 verse 21 to 25, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there in me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? What a wretched man I am. If you don't know yourself how wretched you are before God, you still don't know who you are. It is a privilege. It is a good thing to know that how wretched man we are, right? How wretched a person we are. We are nothing before God. If we know that is a good thing, if until you know yourself, you still don't know who you truly are. And so here Apostle Paul himself knows that who he is, and so thank me to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Through Christ Jesus, we are cleansed from our sin. His alone is our righteousness. So that's why we need to run to Jesus. We need to run to God. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. If we are righteous, if we are not a rich person, why should we need Jesus? Jesus alone can save us from sin. Only a sinless person can save us from sin, you know. Jesus alone is sinless. He is 100% God and 100% human. He won't challenge the Jews. Can anyone prove me of guilty of sin? So, a person who cannot swim cannot save a person who cannot who is thrown in the river. A person who can swim alone can save, right? A sinner cannot save a sinless person. A sinner cannot save a sinner. But a sinless person can save a sinner. And Jesus alone is sinless. And so that's why he can save us from sin. So he is alone who can deliver us from the river of sin. There's no one human who can completely set himself from sin. The religious leaders of the world like Muhammad, Buddha, never claimed they were without sin. But Jesus alone claimed he is without sin. If there is a human being who is without sin, he will not be a human, but a God. Only the sinless blood of God can save us. The blood of a sinful man and woman cannot be
purify us. The blood of animal cannot purify us. Christ died once for all. Christ died for our past, present, and future sin. Past, every iota sin we committed. And present, any sin we commit in the present. Future, any sin we may commit in the future. Right? In the future also, we may commit some more sin. As a human being. But all those things, He died for us. Once for all. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And so, chapter 5 verse 10 says, whoever believes in the Son of God, accept this testimony. Whoever does not believe God, has made him out to be a liar. Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. So, we know clearly that Jesus is the only way. If we don't still believe what God has told us, God Himself testified, God Himself sent His Son, who died on the cross and rose again from that, who only can save us from Him, Jesus alone, then we are a liar. If we still don't believe that, we are a liar. Because we don't believe the truth. And we don't believe God. Because God does not send anyone else to deliver us from sin, right? There are many religious teachers, they teach us about the way, how to live a righteous life, but there's no one. God sent, there is no one else that He sent us to deliver us from sin. Do you know any name, any other name that God sent us to deliver us from sin? No, only Jesus. When we were His enemy, Christ died for us, you know. Christ saved us when we were still sinning against God. Apostle Paul was on the way to Damascus to arrest and persecute the follower of Jesus. It was on that time that a light from heaven came down and struck him down. When the enemy healed, when you were still against God, God's love was poured down upon him, right? When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah! When we were His enemy, Christ died for us. It is a good news. The sick need a doctor, right? When we were still sick, we take the medicine. If you are healthy, you don't need a medicine, right? We are sick, so that's why we need the medicine, and Christ died for us. When we are His enemies. And so, rebellious son came back. Once there was a son who was a rebellious boy. He ran away from his home. But after some time, he wanted to come back. And he said he wanted to come back home again. He lost everything, and so he wanted to come back again. But he don't know whether his parents will accept him back or not. And so, he wrote a letter to them and said that, if you are going to welcome me back again, please tie a white piece of cloth on the tree in front of our home. And if I saw that tree, then I know that you are welcoming back me again. But if I don't see that piece of cloth, then I know that I'm not being welcome again, so I'll pass through our home, and then maybe I'll pass, my life will be like a hope, continue to live a hopeless life. And so after some time, he went back to his home, and he was on the bus, and then when he was reaching near the house, he looked at the tree, but he didn't see any white piece of cloth tied on the tree. But there was a very big white cloth, you know, over all the tree. And he was surprised, what was the meaning? And so he went to, let me get down and ask my parents. And then when he got down and asked their parents, the parents told him that, if you tie only a small piece of cloth, we fear that you may miss to see that cloth, you know. So this way we cover that tree with full of white cloth. We cover the whole tree with white cloth. So that we want to make sure that you are welcome back. We want to make sure that you see that we still love you. You are still welcome back. So he was so happy, you know, that he was so much welcome back. The parents don't want him to miss that he's been welcomed back again, you know. So it is like that. God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him will not die, but will have everlasting life, you know. God loves us so much that when we are His enemy, He died for us. Not when we are righteous, when we are perfect, no. But when we were His enemies, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. So, we praise God. We are not imperfect, but while we are still imperfect, Christ died for us. And John chapter 3, yeah, Just, I just mentioned that one. Do you know that you have received the Holy Spirit then? As a Christian, many Christians do not seem to know whether they received the Holy Spirit or not. I ask them, do you have the Holy Spirit? Question. Do you have the Holy Spirit? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? The moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. How do we know we receive the Holy Spirit? When the blood of Christ purifies our heart and mind, we know we receive the Holy Spirit. Am I right or not? If your heart is not purified by the blood of Christ, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because God is holy. God is holy, holy, holy God. A holy God cannot reside with a sinful man until he is cleansed. If you are cleansed with the blood of Christ alone, you can receive the Holy Spirit. So, the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. When our heart is clean by the blood of Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we fill our heart and mind with the Word of God, we know we walk in the Spirit. The blood of Christ, Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And Acts chapter 2 verse 38 said that, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the moment we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So when our heart is purified by the blood of Christ, we can see God, right? And we can see God through the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our spirit. Today, how can we see God? Through the Spirit. Through our spirit, we can see who God is. We are not yet born again until we are born of the Spirit. And William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, says, the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. You know, without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless, we are lifeless, we are not yet born again, even if we claim to receive Jesus Christ 100 times. You may think that I received Jesus Christ 100 times. But if you don't still receive the Holy Spirit, if you are not born in the Spirit, you are not yet born again. Am I right or not? Do you think so? If you don't receive the Holy Spirit, how can you say that you are born again? If you are not born in the Spirit, how can you say that I am born again? You know? You must be born again, the Bible says, right? You must be born again. And like, we are, without the Holy Spirit, we are like that Christian life. See, it appears to be like very smooth, but you look clearly, the skin is dry, crack. I am a Christian, but inside I am crap. I don't have any spirit. I don't have the Spirit of not working, or God is not working in me. But I claim to be a Christian. But you are a crack Christian? A dry Christian? Lifeless Christian? So, how many of us are not yet really like a crack Christian? See, this is the difference between life in the Spirit and life without the Spirit. A sinful person, yeah, without the Holy Spirit is like this. A dry person, we have no way to set our free from sin. To be free from sin, we cannot moisten ourselves, you know. We have no way to defeat sin in us. But with the power of the Holy Spirit only, we can be moistened. Our sin can be overcome. With the Holy Spirit power only, you know. So walk in the Spirit, so that you defeat the work of the flesh, right? So we need the Holy Spirit when we are depressed, when we are hopeless, when we are defeated, because the Holy Spirit is not working in us. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in us today. So important. So that's why, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you still don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not as a Christian, brother, sister. Even though you may claim I am a Christian, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how can you claim to be a Christian? There's no way. Emmanuel, God with us. Christ himself, sorry, right? Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us only through the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. You you must be born again. The wind blows where it is sweet. You hear it, but you do not know where it comes from, where it is. So it is sweet, everyone born of the Spirit. You can feel the wind. See, whether the wind blow or not, I can feel it. If the Spirit is working on me, I can feel it. My sin are cleansed, you know. I overcome sin in me, you know. I can live a godly life. The light of God is shining me because of the Spirit in me. You cannot feel the Holy Spirit? That means the Holy Spirit is not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. We can feel it. He's the truth, you know. He's a comforter. If he is a comforter, how cannot you feel the Holy Spirit? Right? He says he comforts us, he gives us peace. That means you can feel the presence of God. Am I right or not? And so that's why it is, we don't depend on feeling, we depend upon the truth. But the Holy Spirit is the truth, a person, a personal being, right? So we can feel his love, we can feel his comfort, we can feel his presence. Because he's a real God. And he enables us to overcome sin every day. We feel wrecked. We feel sinful, we pray to God, we ask God for his cleansing through his blood, and the Spirit fill us, and we overcome our sin every day, right? So, we are born of God, yet all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them right to become children of God. Children born of, not of natural descent, not of human descent or husband, but born of God. We are born of God, not born of the flesh. Are you born again in the flesh? Or are you born again in the Spirit? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. When does eternal life begin? Is it from the moment we die? According to the Bible, eternal life begins the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Eternal life is from now and forever. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. See, I have driven out demons. I have healed the sick. I have overcome sin. You know, I died for you. I rose again from the dead. The kingdom of God has come. That victory life, victorious life has come. Victory over sin and death has already begun. The kingdom of God has come. But it is not yet perfected, but it has come. So that every day it is enough for us to defeat the devil every day in our life. To defeat sin every day in our life. That is enough. Victory has given us through the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. But when Christ comes again, we'll be sinless. Until then, we'll not be sinless. But we can defeat sin in our life. Praise the Lord. And so, we have eternal life. Can we lose our salvation? If a believer continues to believe in Jesus Christ, he cannot lose his salvation. Which implies that a believer cannot lose his salvation. There's no way, if you continue your faith, you can lose your salvation. No way. But God has freedom as to a choice to believe him or not to believe him. If we decide not to continue to believe the truth, then we can lose our salvation. Because you don't believe the truth. You are a liar. If you are a liar, you lost your salvation. If you believe the truth, you cannot lose your salvation. Our salvation is eternally secure. John chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Believers are saved by God's hand. It is God's hand that saves us. No force or power is strong enough to take us away from the hand of God. No one can take us away from his hand anymore. The kingdom of God in us and has overcome the kingdom of the world. Praise the Lord. Because we are saved by God's hand. There's no one greater than God. So that's why we say that we are eternally secure. Our life, our spirit, no one can take away again from us. Because we are saved by the powerful hand of God. How can we know God here and know us personally? You know, sometimes we pray to God. I pray to God. Does God really hear me? This is a big question, right? But here, John chapter 10 verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. He knows us personally. He hears us. He knows us personally. We hear his voice. We accept him. We accept him as our Lord and Savior. He knows us, you know. He knows us personally. The Spirit testifies with our spirit we are God's children. In our spirit, we know that we are God's children. Our knowledge of God in Christ is not only at the head level, but it in the spirit level. So that's why there is a deep conviction that we know the truth. It is not against, but beyond human reasoning and understanding. It is a knowledge in the spirit that we are indeed the children of God through Jesus Christ. You know? In the spirit, we know the truth, the work of God, the spirit of God is working in us. And so, we know the truth. You know, we are God's children. I write this thing to you, that you may believe that in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know that you have eternal life. So don't ever doubt your salvation if you are a true Christian. We are 100% sure we'll be in heaven. So application today, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and today, if you come to know for sure about your salvation, accept Him as your Lord, Savior and Lord, this now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Anybody who wants to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, can you raise up your hand? Today I come to know that I am 100% sure I'll be in heaven. Before I don't know, but today I come to know it. Can you raise up your hand, anybody? No one? So, today I challenge you that if you are already sure that you are 100% sure, praise the Lord. But if you are not sure, today accept Him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives us a life of freedom, you know? Here, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are free. Sometimes we say that, oh, it is so burdensome to follow Jesus Christ. But it is more burdensome not to follow Jesus Christ. You know, Adam and Eve also, God said that, you can enjoy everything in this garden, the Garden of Eden, paradise, right? But only one thing you cannot do, that is, don't eat that fruit, the knowledge of the tree and good and evil, right? Only one thing, but 99% they can enjoy, right? Am I right? Today also we can enjoy God's freedom, the freedom in Christ. God allows us to do so many things in this world. But only one thing, don't sin. You can go to USA, you can go to Korea, you can go to every place. But don't sin. You can do business. You can go to college, you can get married. But don't sin. You can enjoy your life, but don't sin. You know? That's the only thing that God don't allow us to do. He allows us to enjoy life to the fullest for His glory. Right? So that's why a life of freedom in Christ. And Christ Jesus has set us free from the sin of, from the life of sin and death. Praise the Lord. In Christ we are set free. And so today we have a peaceful and joyful life. And like here 50-50, I write it in this way because like sometimes we think that we control our whole life, right? I'm also doing business here in China. Sometimes I worry so much. How much I've been lost, I cannot control everything about my business. So I said, I comfort myself. 50% in my hand, 50% in God's hand. Because I am a believer. If I'm not success, it's dependent on God. If I'm success, it's dependent on God. Everything depends on God. Everything don't depend on me. 50%, I try my best. Other than in God's hand. So if I'm not successful, I accept it. If I'm successful, I praise God. So, a peaceful and joyful life. It is not, everything don't depend on us. If everything depend on us, we are not a believer. We believe ourselves, we don't believe God. God is a living God who control our business, our destiny, right? Everything is in His hand. So, let us remember that. So, that's why life, Christian life is not without pain. The Christian life is with so many pain, but in the midst of pain, we know the goodness of God is reigning over everything, right? I comforted myself. In my business also, I feel somebody was cheating me. It seems like evil is overcoming. Evil reign in this world. But the Bible says, God reign in this world. Evil don't reign. The goodness of God reign in this world. Hallelujah! Goodness, righteousness, the love of God, the peace of God overcome the evil world. So God reign. Do you believe God reign or Satan reign? God reign, praise the Lord. So with that, we do our work. We have confidence in life, you know. We study, we work. And then, shine your light by sharing your salvation. You know, today, we know we are 100% safe. If that's so, let us shine our light by sharing our salvation. A new cloth. This is a new cloth. I know where I buy, you know. the market, the store, I still remember. And I can tell you how comfortable this cloth is, or how, whether it fit me or not, you know. The size, exactly how it fit me, and the color, what I like, I can describe to you fully. So today, you have Christ. Can you say that? I don't know how to say. If you don't know how to say that, means you don't know who Christ is. I have a new cloth. I know how to share about the information about my new cloth. How I feel it. How it fit me. How I like the color. So today I challenge you. Let us share our faith. What Christ has given us. What we know. We are not, God never tell us to share what we don't know. Right? What we know, we can share. And also, a pure life. We can be shining light because of pure life. If you're in a business, especially in China, in Guangzhou, and sometimes we face so many temptations, right? Especially like some beautiful girls, or some money, or something like that. But if you're a married person, and if you think about those things, then go back home, spend time with God, and then you'll find that how dirty those things are, right? I also used to go out and I saw friends enjoying like this and that. And when I go back home, I sit down before God and I let myself purify with the blood of Christ, and I think clearly. And I came to realize that, oh God, why did I ever think that? Sometimes I ever think that that might be all right to do. This is a dirty thing. That is a dangerous thing, you know? In the sight of a holy, holy, holy God, in the sight of a holy God, those are dirty things, you know? But through the host, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome those things. Praise the Lord. We don't need to live in those things. We can live a pure life through the holy power of the Holy Spirit. So we thank God for His Holy Spirit that is in us. And so today, brother and sister, the Bible wants us to make sure that we are set free from sin. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He has set us free because of His grace and mercy only. Not because of our work, not because of our wisdom, not because I am righteous, but because of His grace and mercy alone. His love, He set us free from the bondage of sin. And remember, there is no sin, there is no bondage that He cannot overcome. Because He rose again from the dead, the power of the risen Christ is working in us powerfully through our faith in Him. Praise the Lord. The power of the risen Christ is inside you and me. Praise the Lord. So that's why we can live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through God Himself. Us, God enable us. We are, what a righteous man I am. But thank be to God, Jesus Christ, who has set me free from the bondage of sin and death. And He has led us into eternal life. Praise the Lord. May God bless upon, share upon the sharing of His Holy Word. Let me have a short prayer. Gracious and mighty God, thank you, Jesus. What a wretched man we are. We are sinful person. We have no righteousness of our own. But you still love us. You still love us, and you died for us. And you set us free from the bondage of sin and death. Today we are set free. And the power of the risen Christ is in us, Lord. Whatever problem we face every day, we know that, Lord, your power is enough. Your love is enough. Your joy is enough. Your providence is enough for us to live in your glory. To enjoy your peace and your joy. Thank you, Jesus. You have given us eternal life, and no one can take this life from us again. We are eternally secure. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.